Let's read Psalm 45. To the chief musician, set to the lilies, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously, because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall unto you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women, and your right hand stands the queen of gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also, and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. The title of this psalm instructs us that it was written by the sons of Korah. It was directed to the chief musician, to possibly a certain tune or for some event. We don't really know for sure. But it says it's a song of love. Now, the sons of Korah, when they sat down to consider the subject matter, found themselves contemplating on the beauty of their king. Now, make no mistake about it, they have in mind one king, one that is greater than Solomon, David, or any other king in Israel. It is upon the king, the Lord Jesus, that they find themselves meditating. Spurgeon has a bit of a humorous comment on those that see other things in this psalm. He writes, "Some here see Solomon and Pharaoh's daughter only. They are short-sighted. Others see both Solomon and Christ. They are cross-eyed. Well-focused, spiritual eyes here see Jesus only. Or if Solomon be present at all, it must be of those hazy shadows of passers-by which cross the face of the camera and therefore are dimly traceable upon a photographic landscape." There is one subject matter in focus in this psalm, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a skillful psalm, and the subject matter is robust. The hearts of Korah are full of love and wonder for their king. Actually, their hearts are overflowing with love and wonder for their king. The sons of Korah provide a helpful service to the people of God in times past and for today. For oftentimes our hearts are full of love and admiration to the king, and yet our writing skills and our thinking skills do not match those of the sons of Korah. But when it comes to prayer or for singing, this psalm provides excellent material to fashion our thoughts and our words. Well, what exactly did the sons of Korah have to say about their king? Well, the description of this king is covered in verses 2 through 9. I'm not going to reread these verses, but I will make some comments on them. In these 8 verses, we see many different descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called fairer than the sons of men in verse 2. He is blessed of God in verse 3. He is the mighty one, and he possesses glory and majesty. He is ever ready to bestow grace upon his subjects, for it drips from his lips. He rides forth unlike any other king, for he does so in prosperity, accomplishing everything his father appointed for him. He doesn't ride in vain. His journeys are not episodes of empty vanity, because everything he does is marked by truth and humility and righteousness. All the while, he is teaching awesome things with his right hand in verse 4. This king is both lovely and awesome. He is intent on advancing his kingdom. To those who oppose him, nothing will prove so foolhardy as their resistance, for he will prevail against them. To those he intends to conquer, they will be conquered indeed, for his arrows are sharp, we see in verse 5. This kingdom is of no momentary affair. It is designed to endure for all generations. It is an everlasting kingdom, of which there will not only be no end, but of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. This king rules with righteousness because he loves righteousness and he hates wickedness. His reign is marked with holiness and, what might be surprising to some, with joy. More than anyone else, he loves holiness, and with that carries a great anointing. Well, in the last section of this psalm, the tone changes and the subject matter becomes different. In verse 10, the sons of Korah now instruct the bride. It says, "Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house." They are no longer describing the king, but they are describing someone else. Now, given the bridegroom's description here, the woman we're about to discover must be something to behold. Well, who is this bride, and from whence does she come? Well, the answer is deceptively simple. The sons of Korah are instructing you. You are the one they are talking to here. They bid you to listen, incline your way, forsake the old ways, and worship him. Now, why is this psalm and our worship so important? Well, in verse 11 we read, "Because the king desires your beauty." Now, if you're the type of person who's given to fuzzy thinking, or perhaps you're an empty-headed young girl, you might be quite full of yourself considering these thoughts, thinking that, wow, this is some beauty that he wants to behold. Think of me. But to draw unwarranted attention to yourself would defeat the whole purpose, because we're called to incline our ears and worship him, not ourselves. The king desires your beauty because he's the one that made you beautiful. You are described as glorious, adorned with a clothing of gold, arrayed in robes of many colors, and with gladness and rejoicing, you are brought to him. The imagery of this bride might seem almost just a bit too much for us. I suspect it would be more than satisfying. In fact, men could be quite content to serve as a servant of such a great king. For such were the comments of the Queen of Sheba upon Solomon's servants. They must be a contented lot, very happy to sit with such wisdom in this house. But this arrangement of us being a servant to such a great king would not satisfy the king himself. He desires for us to be his bride, for he has set his love upon us. This is an arranged marriage, arranged by a loving father as a gift to honor his son. The match is so perfect, we might call it a marriage made in heaven. Now, you may not see yourself as, and your life as it is described in this psalm. You might not wake up every morning and see yourself arrayed with apparel, with gold fabric, with many colors, with a train of people who are in gladness with you because of what has happened. Well, that's understandable, but it doesn't make it true. These are not vain compliments designed to trick every sow's ear into believing it is a silk purse. Because your king has loved righteousness and hated wickedness, and because grace pours from him, they are the words which accurately describe the bride of Christ. It describes everyone who has been conquered by the great king. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. And most importantly, worship the king. Let us pray.